It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for Ask Ross, which is brought to you by the 409tailgateclub.com. And 409 Tailgate Club, they have announced that they will be in Berwick on Saturday, July 27th for a barbecue and wine event at the Freeze Farm Winery to benefit Penn State's chapter of Uplifting Athletes. Obviously, some great barbecue and wine. There'll also be beer from the Berwick Brewery.
Nice.
Which I could attest to how good that is. There'll also be music. If you want to find out more, you can go to tailgatewine.com. There's a nice button there to hit on the front page, and we'll give you all of the details. Ross, Bob, y'all ready to hear the questions?
I love it.
I like it. Yeah. I'm not missing any. Ross is right. I thought I would be. I'm really not.
Okay. Thank you, I think. Anyway, let's start with our old buddy Joseph from Scranton. And I'm bringing this one up because it relates to our previous conversation. Penn State's taken a lot of three-star commits. They use analytics, what they see at camp, and their gut. Do you think they are taking these three stars because they can't get any higher-ranked players, or they really like what they're taking?
I don't think they would take him at this point unless they really liked him. But the thought did occur to me, and I think this is a good question. The thought did occur to me, with all of the negative publicity that they got from all those decommitments, like four in a row, I wonder if there was a concerted effort to kind of volley back, to use a tennis term during Wimbledon, right? To like get the momentum, because there's one thing we've noticed. There is no question that momentum is a very real thing in college football recruiting. There's no question. And I think that they wanted to get the momentum back. And I think that they knew some guys like Mulba and Elston in particular, Pennsylvania kids, Central Pennsylvania kids, that they could get those kids to commit pretty quick and start to get some momentum going. But I would also say there's a reason why they didn't offer Mulba or Elston until like June. It's because they wanted and thought that they would get better kids. And once they realized that wasn't the case,
right.
Every team has a board, just like a draft board. They've got a recruit prospect board, every team. And they look to get the highest guy on the board they can. And they're constantly playing the game of, okay, when do we offer the fifth guy on the board, the sixth guy on the board? Do we think we're going to get the third? Doesn't look like we're going to get the third. Or the second just decommitted. Better offer the sixth. We'll be able to get him. So I think they like the kids that they're taking, but they were hoping to get better in several instances. There's no question.
They like these kids. Like even like a couple that they loved that they didn't get.
Right, even like Tyler Warren, they probably feel like they can't count on getting the Canadian kid, Theo Johnson, I think his name is, and they don't want to wait around for him, so they took him. I think what you need to look at a lot of times is when they offered him, right? If they offered him months ago, if they offered him on a Tuesday and they accept, you know, that's the difference.
All right. Here's our next one from Jared from Dover, PA. Hey, Ross, after watching Zion Williamson play basketball, I couldn't help but picture him in a Penn State football uniform. If you could slot him into this year's Penn State team, what position would you want him to play? I believe he's 6'7", 285. Would his athleticism be wasted by playing offensive tackle?
He'd be a tight end. And he'd be an unbelievable tight end. He could put 15, 20 pounds on and be a ridiculous offensive tackle. Absolutely ridiculous. But I think I would start with trying to get him to lose a little bit of weight and put him at tight end.
He'd be like an Uber Gesicki. Like,
yeah.
Imagine just Gesicki like times well, two or three.
Plus
four.
His leaping ability.
Right.
If you watch him dunk.
Yeah.
So
did Gesicki too.
Yeah. But more than the dunks, have you seen some of his blocks when he's 10, 15 feet away from a guy just setting up to shoot? He does a little sprint and goes up. He's incredible how high he gets up.
He's incredible.
Yes.
There's no way around it. He is an incredible basketball player. He's playing the wrong sport for my personal entertainment because now he's with the Pelicans. I'll never watch him again. I'll never see him again. It really is interesting, isn't it, that like this is total aside, but when he played for Duke, I probably watched him play 5 to 10 times last year. This year, I don't think I'll watch him once.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Like he's going pro. He's going to be making money. He's number one overall pick, but the Pelicans aren't on TV as much as Duke is. Well, that's what I just
said. Now they will.
They'll put him on more.
They'll start putting him on more because that's someone. I mean, name five other NBA guys. Can you even do that? The general public, I don't think they can, but they know Zion. So let's move on. Luke from Pittsburgh. At the risk of sounding like a homer, I don't think the talent gap between Penn State and Ohio State and Michigan is that big. How would you transform Penn State's mental approach from wanting to win these big games to expecting to win these big games?
I never really know how to answer those questions. I don't really know what they're doing right now. I don't think it's a mental approach. I think it's just one guy making one play at one point. We'd be having a very different conversation if Marcus Allen never blocked a field goal against Ohio State. Or if that Minnesota game, Irv Charles doesn't catch that pass. I mean, you know, the reality is there's like five plays every game that really make the difference in a lot of these games between winning and losing. And Penn State has not made enough of those plays when they've had to. They need to tackle better against Ohio State. They needed against Michigan State to catch one of those picks that Lewerke threw. I mean, I don't think it's a mental approach. I think that a lot of times is like just something that fans talk about that is really not.
It's the middle of July, so what else are we going to talk about, right?
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club, where great barbecue meets great wine. And speaking of barbecue meeting great wine, don't forget you could go to tailgatewines.com and you'll find information about a big barbecue and wine event coming up in a couple weeks to benefit Penn State's chapter of Uplifting Athletes. All right. Let's go with HB from Irwin, PA. We hear all the time about quarterbacks, receivers, running backs being able to develop chemistry during on-field summer workouts. What, if anything, can other positions, specifically offensive line, do on the practice field in the off-season to improve chemistry?
Well, I think if your linebackers are secondary, you're doing 7-on-7, so you're communicating with coverage, right? Especially zone coverage, you're communicating. Get him flat, 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 you know, cover, 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 you know, hook, curl, whatever it is, right? You're communicating with the other guys what the route combinations are and trying to get a good feel for when you pass those guys off on stunts. So that's what I would say. That's the first thing I would say about DBs and linebackers. For O-line, D-line, it's really just being together. It's really, as much as anything, it's liking the guys that you're working with and wanting to do things for them and that familiarity and comfort level. There isn't really on-field chemistry you can get as much. I mean, you can work on combination blocks and stuff as an offensive lineman, but it's hard to do that stuff unless it's, you know, in real time. But I always felt like there's no question in my mind that there is an advantage to being around the other guys, hanging out, and liking them. You know, I mean, I'll give you an example, okay? If you care about the guy next to you when you're an offensive lineman and he's getting bull rushed and maybe you're the guy that's freed up, you know, your job is to go over there and hit that guy. Okay. If you're like I was, and you really freaking like trying to inflict punishment on other human beings, you go over there and you put your helmet right in his ribs and you try to break him, right? Or even if you just feel like, hey, that's my buddy. He's getting bull rushed right now. I need to go help him. Maybe you're not like me and you don't derive as much enjoyment out of it, but maybe it's just a sense of responsibility that he's getting bull rushed. I got to go put my helmet in his ribs, knock the crap out of him, because I want my buddy to do that back to me when that dude's bull rushing me.
Gotcha. All right, here's an interesting one. Andrew from Elmer, New Jersey. I'm not going to read the whole question. It basically boils down to this. How would Tommy Stevens do if he transferred to Army, if he played quarterback for Army?
I would love to see it.
Yeah.
I would love to see it. He's a different type of quarterback than they usually have. He's bigger, but I think he's every bit as fast as the guys they have. I have often said this. I heard someone say this recently, that they'd love to see what would happen if a blue blood school actually went to like the option. Like if a blue blood like an Oklahoma or Georgia or someone like that, and you were really getting the elite athletes. Like your quarterback was Kyler Murray, right? I mean, picture Kyler Murray running that offense. I mean, forget about it.
Here was an interesting thought along the same lines. Now, you're not going to get a Kyler Murray to play that type of offense because he wants to get to the NFL and throw the ball. But what about a team, a Power 5 conference team that's not very good playing that type of offense, like Kansas?
Kansas should 1,000% do it. Seriously. Yeah. So should Rutgers.
Right.
You know, if you're terrible and you've always been terrible – it at least gives you a chance to compete. Look at what Georgia Tech did. Georgia Tech is not getting the best kids. What did they, Bob, win 8 or 9 games every year? Go to like a New Year's Day bowl, it seemed like,
and
every
somehow
year?
They got Demaryius Thomas and Calvin Johnson to play Wyatt.
Yeah. Well, Calvin was already there, I think, when they – but.
And wasn't it Army Oklahoma a heck of a game?
Yeah. Oh, heck
year?
Yeah.
So
I think they took them to overtime.
All right. Let's get one more in real fast. Scott from Bellefonte. Hey, guys, love the show. My question is, what was the bigger loss, Bressy or Fleming?
Ooh, that's a good question.
It's always a D lineman, isn't it?
That's a really good question. I'm going to say Bressy just because he has the potential to affect every play. But Fleming being from Central Pennsylvania and being
right.
a kid that everybody thought was going to go to Penn State and a touchdown maker, it's really close. I'll go Fleming. I thought the first question was the best one.
Although that last question
about the three stars. Yeah, I like the last one too. Let's go to Joseph Goldstein in Scranton.
Yep. Joseph's our old friend who's actually from Israel. He gives the Scranton address so he could win. All right. That's it for quarter number three. Stick around for quarter number four.
Uh-oh.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.